Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Oh, groups start next week. Confidence Monitor just told me that. Groups start next week, so you have a chance to jump into that. This is the practical side of Proverbs. It says, the one who works his land will have plenty of food, but who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. A faithful person will have many blessings, but one in a hurry to get rich will not go unpunished. You know, when this was written, they didn't even have the lottery. But it says, you know, whoever chases fantasies. And I realize, you know, sometimes, well, you know, that people say, well, you know, if I buy a lottery ticket, I can always dream. Okay, if you do, if you win, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. but you don't want to be spending all your money trying to, that's chasing a fantasy. But it says a faithful person will have, I just thought it's interesting that the Bible never has advocated being lazy. It always advocating working what you got, using what you have, and then that's the people who are blessed. The faithful person will have many blessings. You know, if you work for somebody and you're an employee, and if you're faithful, it will help you. If you're one that as an employer, I can just tell you, if you're one that people can count on, then that will be a blessing. Is that an Amber Alert? What do we have on this one? Missing child? Okay, let's stop and pray. Father, wherever this child is, I ask that you would help the authorities find him, and this child is returned safely. We ask you for your mercy on the family and that you would comfort those who are missing the child. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
But being faithful just means we can count on you. And there's a lot of value in that. Any of you who are employers in here? You employ people. I should have at least heard an amen from you guys. People you can count on, people you know they're going to show up, people that are going to do what they say, being faithful. That's listen, I'm going to tell you something. That's how you get promoted today. If you show up, you don't complain, you do a good job, they can always count on you. All employers appreciate people like that. And a faithful person will abound with blessings. I remember, I've told this before, but when Joy and I were working with Lakewood Church, we did the singles. We had an interesting group of singles, and we had a guy who had just gotten out of, he'd been in prison for a while, and he came, and he got saved, and we were working with him. And he still had some mind renewal that he had to do. Because he came in one day, he said, man, y'all got to pray for me. The devil stole my job. I said, he stole your job? How did he steal your job? He said, yeah, the devil stole it. I said, anything else going on? He said, well, they said I was late. I said, how often were you late? He said, 2 weeks. I said, you were late every day for 2 weeks? He said, yeah. I said, that's not the devil. I said, that is you, my brother. And so he had to learn some faithfulness. So it's a blessing. We're talking about developing a spiritual mindset, and I want to jump into some things today. And I'm going to recap a little bit from last week, because I think that's important, and then we'll go on. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful and thankful for this time. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for people who would take their time to come and to receive from you. Thank you, Father, for people who are watching online and taking time out of their evening. And Lord, we just believe that in all labor there is profit. And so we thank you for speaking to us tonight. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is the teacher and the one who brings enlightenment. And Lord, we're just grateful for that. Grateful for the opportunity to come into a nice place, to sit in air conditioning, sit in peace, be able to break your word in such a state of peace. Thank you for that. We are grateful. Many in this world don't. We do. And for that, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Aren't you glad you weren't born in North Korea?
Amen.
I mean, I tell you how blessed we are to be here. So, We were talking about developing a spiritual mindset, and our text has been Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so last week we were talking about there's a process. We talked about putting off the old man and putting on the new. And I won't take the time to read it, but it's in Ephesians. Paul was writing to the church. He was writing to believers. He said you need to put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So there's a middle thing. Here's the old man. Here's the way the old man used to live. Here's the renewal of the mind. And then here's putting on the new man. You know, it's interesting. The Bible's not just about don'ts. When the Bible tells don'ts, it always provides a do. The Bible says don't lie, but it does say do speak truth with your neighbor. And so people say, well, the Bible's just all about don'ts. No, it's not. Christianity is not just about don'ts. Christianity is a whole lot about things we get to do. And so renewing our mind is a process. It's renewing the mindset, renewing our perspective, renewing how we see things. And it's a wonderful way because it begins to change us. I think a lot of us who can testify, having known the Lord for a while, and I've been at this for a while, I'm just telling you, you're constantly in the process of renewing your mind. I don't think the same way I used to think years ago. Amen. I don't have the same perspective on life and the perspective on relationships. And it's changed, and it's not because I'm a pastor, or it's not because I'm special. It's because I've spent time in this book, and this book is full of God's stuff. And His stuff is good stuff. Amen. This will work. Yes. And so putting it in your heart and in your mind. So we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. And last week we talked about if you're going to get a spiritual mindset, a different mindset, you need spiritual supernatural fuel. Excuse me. So we have to eat. Jesus knew the importance of God's Word. This is Jesus' word here. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus was likening God's word to spiritual food, just like bread is natural food. And so understanding that, and I won't go into it all tonight, understanding that we are a spiritual being, we have a soul, we live in a body, is understanding the fact that our spirit man, which is really the highest level of us, it's the eternal part of us, can be fed just like our natural body can be fed. But to have... So our natural body needs natural food. Our spiritual man needs spiritual food. And Jesus is giving us an indication. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a great example of spiritual food. And it's actually found in Exodus. We're going to turn there in just a second. But it's the story of when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. God sent Moses. They've been slaves for over 400 years. God sent Moses. Moses, through a series of miracles that God did, He did amazing miracles in Egypt, got them out of Egypt. And now as they're wandering through the wilderness, they're hungry. Obviously, you need food. How would you like to be logistically involved in feeding a couple million people? Nice. That's a lot. And so they're praying and they're asking God. Every time these guys would hit trouble, they would wail, and they're looking at Moses going, why have you brought us out here to die of hunger when we were slaves? We ate better. And, you know, Moses is like, Lord, your people are causing problems. You need to help these guys. And so God helped them. Exodus 16. When the layer of dew lifted on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. But when the sun became hot, it melted. Now, this is manna. This is the example of manna. This was supernatural bread from heaven. And God used it to feed the children of Israel. It was a new thing to them. They didn't know anything about it. But every morning, there would be this manna. I think it's interesting, for those of you who like to sleep late, you'd have starved. When the sun came up, the stuff melted. So for all of us morning people, we're going to eat real good. But here's the interesting thing. With manna, they had to go out and get it every day. They had to go out and gather it. Now, here's something interesting about the Lord. He did not drop it in their tents. They didn't just put their cook pots out there outside their tent and the Lord dropped it in their cook pots. He didn't drop it in their mouth. They had to go get it. They had to go gather it. And so, and if you didn't go gather it, you didn't eat. And it would come 6 days. It wouldn't keep. That was something more about the Sabbath. It wouldn't keep. So you had to get it every day. And then on the sixth day, you could get a double portion and it would keep. And so on the Sabbath, you could rest. Now, you say, well, what's that got to do with us? Well, God's word is supernatural food. And he's provided supernatural food for us. Jesus, again, speaking in John, the sixth chapter, verse 63. Jesus said, it's the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and their life. This book is not just an ancient book. This is a supernatural book. It's got spiritual words in it. One of the reasons you can tell it's got spiritual words in it is you can read it repeatedly without getting tired. I was a reader. I've always been a reader. As soon as I learned to read, I learned Why Johnny Can't Read. It was a phonics book that my mother taught me between the first and second grade. And buddy, when I called on to reading, I hit a gusher. I loved to read. My mom had to remove cereal boxes from me because I'm reading cereal when I'm eating. They would send me out to get newspaper to start a fire for kindling, and I would get lost reading old newspapers. But here's what I found out. I would read books. I think I read The Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, and The Hobbit, and The Lord of the Rings trilogy when I was in high school. And man, I loved reading. I'd stay home on the weekends just to read. And I read it. And then I read it again. Do you ever notice that you can read something second time, it's not as good, then you read it third time, you're tired of it. Like I said, I love to read, but after about the third time, I'm like, I don't read this anymore. This is the interesting thing I find out about the Bible. I can pick up the Bible and read a chapter that I read yesterday and enjoy it just as much today as I did yesterday. It's a spiritual book. It's not like reading People magazine in your doctor's office that's been years and years old. This is a spiritual book, and it's got spiritual life in it. But here's the thing. It's like manna. These things are written for our example. With the spiritual, God's not going to drop it in your mouth. You got to go get it. Now, you say, well, Alan, that's what you're doing today. You are feeding. And yes, that's correct. This is a time where we're speaking the Word of God. We're teaching the Word of God. That is a feeding. But you got to eat more than once a week. Yes. Now, I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad you're watching online. I know that. But I also know you got to eat more than once a week. If you want to get strong, go get it every day. Just go gather it every day. You don't have to spend hours in it, but just go spend some time there. And it will help you and it will bless you and it will strengthen you. And what you'll find is it's kind of like regular eating. If you eat regularly, you maintain a level of strength. If you eat spiritual food, I said this last week, I've never said it before, but if you don't eat natural food and you go work out, you're not going to have the strength to resist. If you lift weights, you're not going to have the strength to resist. And I just said it came out of my mouth. If you don't eat spiritually, you're not going to have the strength to resist temptation and trouble when it comes your way. And I'd never said that before, so that was hot off the press. I'll take it. But it's the same principle. And so I love the manna principle. They had to go get it. And then they got tired of it. Do not complain. Don't go, God, do I have to read my Bible? No, Lord, thank you. I get to read my Bible, and it's helping me. So just going back to that, you want to make that. That's why we got Bible 365. And honestly, it's not a function of time. It's a function of priorities and discipline. Let's be very honest. It's easier to watch YouTube clips than it is to read your Bible. Yeah. Don't look innocent. Don't look at me like you. Don't look at me like, not for me. But no. Anything, television, anything like that, that's passive and it's easy just to watch. It takes discipline to say, I'm going to put that down and I'm going to read my Bible. Yes, sir. And, but hey, listen. Most things in life that are valuable take some level of discipline. You want to keep a good job, you got to get up and go to work pretty much every day that they're open. Like, we expect you to be here. It takes discipline. Anybody ever wake up one morning and feel like, I don't feel like going to work? I just don't feel like going to work. There have been mornings I got up and go, I don't go talk to these people. I'm tired of this. They're pretty rare. But you can't go by feelings. That's right. If you go by feelings, if feelings are your leader, you'll not do much. Feelings are a poor leader, good follower. And so what you have to do is, what I tell people a lot of times, if you've had a hard time reading your Bible, stop saying, I have a hard time reading my Bible, and begin to say, I love to read my Bible. My Bible is helping me. It's feeding me spiritually. This is good stuff. Yes. And so, and please stop saying you don't understand it. Duh. Not everyone understands. I don't understand everything I read. But there's enough in here that I do understand that keeps me busy. And so what you'll find is the more you read it, the more you'll understand. Yes. And understanding grows. And so, good stuff. Really? All right. I want to talk about something that it's part of what I call a powerful process tool. I'm going to give you some scriptures tonight. We're going to jump into it. God told Joshua how to be successful. So I'm going to go into something a little different tonight. But this is something. Remember, we're talking, but still talking about a spiritual mindset. We're putting off the old man, we're renewing our mind, we're getting a different mindset, and we're putting on the new man. The new man lives a lot better. It's a better way to live. And so, but in that process is, how do we renew our mind? So I've got a great process tool for you. God told Joshua how to do it. And Joshua, the first chapter, verse 8, Joshua was the one who followed Moses. He said, this book of the law, he's talking to Joshua, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, let me just give you some definitions on that. To prosper means to succeed, to cause to turn out successfully. It's a good word with a bad rap. You say prosperous now or prosperity, and people immediately run to the, it's only about money. Listen, prosperous is to succeed. You want your relationships to prosper. You want your career to prosper. You want your mental health to prosper. You want your physical health to prosper. It's not a bad word. It's gotten a bad rap. It's still a good word. And God told Joshua, he said, if you will do this, you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Now, the word good success means to be prudent, to give insight, marked by sound judgment. Here's another word, to act wisely. So he's telling Joshua how to be successful, how to act wisely. Well, people say, well, that's only for Joshua. Not really. Psalms first chapter. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, or we could say in God's word. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Same word. To be successful, to cause to turn out successfully. They say, well, that's Old Testament. Okay, let's go new. 1 Timothy, 4th chapter, verse 15. This is similar. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress, your advancement, we could say without a stretch, your prospering may be evident to all. So God talked to Joshua. He gave us a general instruction in Psalms. Paul is talking to Timothy about how he can advance, how he can move forward, how his progress, visible progress, he's doing so well, other people can see it. And so, if you notice there was one common denominator in all those verses. What was it? Prosper, yes, that's right. What else? Meditation. So I'm going to talk to you tonight a little bit about meditation before we close up. Now, here's what I need you to get rid of. Get rid of meditation of sitting cross-legged on the floor with your arms out, going home. That's not biblical meditation. Meditation, and a lot of other religions use it, a lot of other philosophies use it. And it's interesting, as I was thinking about this today, meditation in Eastern religions is they want you to empty your mind. They want you to be conscious of your breath. Biblical meditation says we fill our mind with God's thoughts and we're conscious of the one who gives us our breath. So it's not you're emptying your mind out and trying to reach a state of nothingness. Biblical meditation is meditating. In fact, what he told Joshua, it means to mutter, it means to speak, it means to ponder. It means to consider, to weigh, to ponder over. Meditation involves our thinking. So we actually begin to read. And maybe you'll have a scripture or something that state, and you begin to think about a scripture. How does this word apply to me? What does this mean to me? How does this word impact me? So you're actually taking some time to think about it and to give it some thought. I think God told Joshua, he said, meditate in this day and night. And people are like, well, I can't meditate. I got to work. I can't meditate day and night. And I think the Lord understood that. I think the idea behind it is, have you ever noticed, even in working, how many thoughts we have? I don't know what the number is. It's huge. I'll always ask this. If you put a valuation on your thoughts, how would they stack up? You know, there's some thoughts, be honest with you, that have no value whatsoever. They're thoughts of you winning the lottery. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I bet almost all of us have thought, if I won the lottery. But that's one of those thoughts, that's a throwaway thought. How about some of the thoughts that do you harm? You were having a great day, and you got a phone call or a text. And it sent your thoughts into a negative land. And then it even though you were working, where was that thought? It's like it's right there the whole time. And you stop maybe for a moment, and here comes that thought. Maybe it's a bad thought, it's negative. So in other words, there are thoughts, and then there are good thoughts. Thoughts that have value. And so what God is telling Joshua is, he said, you really want to begin to think on purpose on thoughts that add value to you. I'm going to give you a practical way of doing that. So don't just kind of stay with me. This is the new thing. Here's the thing about meditation, biblical meditation. It involves our speaking. That's right. Speaking God's word is one of the best ways to get God's word in our heart. Psalms 119. This, by the way, Psalms 119, longest chapter in the Bible, is one of the best chapters on the value of God's word. It's an amazing chapter. It really is. How can a young man cleanse his way? Older men too. By taking heed according to your word. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Isn't that interesting? God said, if we begin to put God's word in our heart, what happens? Remember, we're able to begin then to put off the old man and put on the new. But we need to know what the new man looks like. We need to realize what God has said about us. And in meditation, we begin to get a feel for that. Now, meditation involves speaking. I think this is one of the things, Joy and I have talked a lot about it. This is probably one of the biggest areas of challenge for believers. I spend a lot of time trying to get people to read. Now I'm trying to get you to level up and not just read, but begin to speak God's word. Here's a tip, and this will help you. If you're alone, if you can be alone, people say, do you enjoy to spend moments, time together in prayer? No. We pray together, but our devotional time every morning is apart. That's just Joy and I. She goes on one side, I go on another side. One of the reasons we do that is because both of us are speaking. And I'm tired of going, "No, I wasn't talking to you." She'll go, "What? No, I was just so we go, but here's this is just Alan speaking. Listen, if you guys pray together, I think that's wonderful. If you do devotions together, I think that's wonderful. My relationship with the Lord, though, is different. The joys, it's my relationship. And so I would really encourage you to have alone time. And together time's great, but shoot for alone time. And so one of the things that we do, and one of the things that we've done to meditate the scriptures. Remember, God told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night." Not hum. But this, let me give you an idea. Joy and I love cards. 3x5 cards. Neither one of us are good at poker. We like cards. When Joy was very sick, every morning the children remember her getting up. They were small then. They remember her being in her chair. She would encourage me to help. Oh, I hated doing it. Because she was so sick, and she would say, "Help me get up." And I'd say, "Darling, don't you need to sleep?" And she said, "No." She said, "I need to get strong spiritually." And I would help her. I would sometimes help her get out of bed. She was so sick. But she would sit down with cards and she would read them. So let me just kind of show you. Are you interested? Can I show you how we meditate? Okay, if you come back next week, I'll be glad. No, I'm done. Okay.
Good.
Just messing with you. All right. Here's a card. Here's a card I have. This is 2 Timothy. I put the reference up at the top. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, timidity, of cowardice, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, of discipline and sound judgment." So I'll read that. But then I go back and make it personal. Lord, I want to thank you that I can stir up your gift which is in me. Lord, I thank you that you have not given me a spirit of fear. The Holy Spirit that you have given me is not a spirit of fear. He is not timid. He is not a coward. He is powerful. He is loving. And he has a sound, disciplined mind. Lord, I thank you that the Holy Spirit who lives in me is strong and powerful and loving and is a sound mind. And he's helping me today. That's what I'll do. Here's another one. As you therefore, this is Colossians 2, 6 and 7. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." So I'll just read that, but then I'll make it personal. Lord, I thank you I've received Christ Jesus, who is the Lord of heaven and earth. And I walk in him. That means I live in communion with him. I am rooted in him. I am built up in him, and I'm established in the faith, and I'm abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, here's what will happen. You begin to write this. You begin to say this, and you begin to do it, and other things will begin to rise up. So I wrote on the back of this card, "I am rooted in Christ. My identity is found in him. Not my appearance, not my talents, not my assets, not my strength, not my position. I am not rooted in people's acceptance. I am rooted in his wisdom, his righteousness, his sanctification, his redemption. I'm a joint heir with Jesus." You see? Now, I try to do this every day. And I've got more than two. I'm not telling you how, I'm not even going to tell you how many I have because I don't want you to get hung up on a number. But I'm saying is, if you can begin to get this and do this, and I'll make it part of my devotional time. And it's a fellowship. What am I doing? I'm not just speaking into the air. I'm meditating on God's word. And what happens is understanding comes that way. I begin to get a greater sense. I'll be honest with you. You can wind up preaching to yourself. You can get rolling on one of these and hit something, and something can just really speak to your heart. But what you're doing is you're meditating. This is meditating on God's word. Does that make sense? That's a simple process. And this is what Joy did when she was so sick. She got verse after verse on healing and just kept meditating on God's word and healing. And you know, in Proverbs, it says, "Son, don't let my words depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, because they're life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." I watched it happen in her life. She went from sick and green to healthy and strong. And I promise you that this was part of it, as you begin to take God's word and put it in you. And that's what it's doing, is you're making it personal. You're making it a part of you. And it begins to change your thinking. See, I didn't start off with that, but in fact, just the other day I put, I'm not rooted in people's acceptance. That's not where my roots are. My roots are in Him. He does not change. His wisdom, His strength. I'm built up in Him. I'm not even built up in my position as a pastor. I'm built up in Him. That never changes. My position as a pastor is only a job. It's a role. But who I am in Christ, that's eternal and doesn't change. And so you find scriptures that you can do, and you can do. Now, do it by yourself. And then if you want to take one and just maybe during the course of a day, just maybe take one scripture, and you're sitting there and you got a break and you're thinking about what you're going to eat for lunch. And then you begin to think, Lord, thank you that I received Jesus as my Lord, and I am rooted and built up in Him. And you're taking just some of those random nothing thoughts and putting them on something that has value and adds value to you. Now, let me just be very, very honest with you. If there's any place that, and Joe and I have talked about this, if there's anything that's easy to drop, it's this. And by the way, when you begin to speak these words, don't expect them to sound natural to your ear. If you've never spoken them before, they will sound weird. You're like, I am rooted and built up in Him. I don't feel that way. But stop asking your, don't ask your feelings to chime in here. And push past the awkwardness. I don't have to go into it, but we've all done things we were awkward in, and we kept going. That's why we have children. Yes, I said it. Don't send me an email. But you know what I'm talking about. And it's the same. It will not sound natural to your ears. But I tell you what, after a while, it'll sound very natural to your ears. And it becomes part of your fellowship with the Lord. It becomes part of your relationship. You can turn it into a prayer. It really is valuable. Over the years, Joy and I have talked about this is probably one of the most valuable things we've done. And she and I both have said, one of our challenges is we've been too quiet. Christianity is very much in our mouths. Faith is voice activated. And so, just like you talk to Siri. You ever find yourself talking back to Siri? That's not what I said. If we can talk to Siri, we can talk to the Lord with this. Now, here's something that, and I just added, I was reading this year, and I sent this to the leadership team. This is one of my verses for the year, for us. Psalm 65:11. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. I like that verse. That's a good verse. Don't look for the gloom and doom verses. Look for good ones. Things that'll bless you. Does that help any at all? Yes. Yes. Simple. It's simple. You say, well, Alan, that sounds like a lot of work. Well, you know, if your doctor looked at you and said, you need to get in shape, it's going to be work. And you don't go and say, okay, I'm going to the gym. You don't go to the gym for 2 days and then get in front of the mirror and go, I don't see much change. You know that if you're going to get in shape, it's going to take some time. Yeah. And listen, what you're doing when you're doing this is you're building. You're building strength. You're building change. You're building things into your life. It doesn't come all at one time, but if you'll stay with it, you'll get stronger and stronger. It will build you up, and then you'll make your way prosperous. and then you'll have good success. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Father, thank you for this, your word. Thank you that your word has such life in it, such health and strength in it, such light in it, Lord, that shines light on life and relationships and careers and shines light on health in so many areas. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for every individual here, those who are watching online. Lord, thank you. They have that heart to learn and a heart to grow. And it's achievable, it's possible. All things are possible with you. We thank you for that. Real quickly, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here with us tonight, or maybe you're watching online and you're thinking, you know what, I'm not even sure I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not sure about that, or I was. I'm just kind of uncertain about that, but I want to be certain. Or maybe you're even like I was. I'd made a decision. I'd gotten away from God. Life happened. It seemed like I wandered from Him. He never left me. But you realize I need to come back. We're going to pray for you. We're not going to have you stand up or come to the front. If you're online, I can't see you, but this is a great prayer for you. I am going to ask you one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to, and you're saying, Alan, that's me, would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up real quick, just across this auditorium? Thank you. Thanks. 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 Yeah. Thank you. Great. Thank you for your honesty, your courage. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you didn't lift your hand, if you're on television, obviously, or online, I can't see you. But you can pray this prayer. This is a heart prayer. I'm going to lead you in it. We're going to pray with you as a church family. It's such a good prayer. But remember, this is speaking. We believe in our hearts and we speak with our mouth. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Heads are still bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you for those who have just prayed that, those here, those online. Thank you for the new creation, that new life that's in them. And Father, for those of us who know you and have walked with you, thank you that you're helping us bring out the whole potential of this new man that you've created. We didn't create him, you did. Thank you for what you've done in us. Thank you for helping us realize that. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.